Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. You can send us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line always there for you. Our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Well, happy Tuesday, everybody. The Bulls fall to the Dallas Mavericks and their 20-year-old phenom, Luka Doncic. 118-110 is the final in Dallas Monday night. The Bulls actually playing one of their more respectable games when it comes to losing to these 500 teams. The Bulls now fall to 1-15 on the season when playing teams currently above 500. We had some scares related to some injuries to a couple of key players. We'll touch on that and have hopefully a couple of updates. We'll also break down the incredible talent that is Luka and sadly compare that to the fact that the Bulls just have no one that good on this rebuilding roster right now. And once again, have to talk about the somehow most interesting, most perplexing and vexing person on this Bulls roster right now, Chris Dunn. And the night he had trying to slow down one Luka Doncic. So, let's get the ugly part out of the way. Two big injury scares in this game as the Bulls were lucky in the good news that Lauri Markkanen, who got his ankle rolled up on by Marcus Smart in their loss to Boston on Saturday, was doubtful coming into last night's game, but was feeling good enough to give it a go during pregame warmups and was surprisingly declared active and actually ended up playing a heavy dose of minutes. 36 minutes for Lauri Markkanen on a night when we didn't think he was going to play at all after that scary ankle injury he suffered on Saturday. And he did a lot in those 36 minutes. He was 10 of 18 from the field, hit 4 of his 10 three-point attempts, poured in 26 total points, grabbed 9 rebounds. A solid night for Lauri. And it was also nice to see him get some buckets inside and not just only taking those shots from behind the three-point line. Although, once again, he did take more than 50% of his shots from behind the three-point line. So we still don't love that, but we do love the fact that we saw him getting involved in that transition offense. He was moving without the ball. He was trailing plays in transition. He was setting up his own scoring opportunities in transition. He had a really nice transition drive and a Euro step finish in the lane. Stuff that we saw from Lauri in his first two seasons that we really have not seen much of this season because of the offense that Jim Boylan is trying to run. So that was the positive when it came to injury scares that the Bulls were dealing with coming into this game. Lauri played, shook off that ankle from Saturday, and looked pretty darn good. One of the best games we've seen from Lauri all season. Then came the Gafford injury. Daniel Gafford, trying to, you know, vie for a loose ball, tweaks his ankle, gets rolls up his ankle while he's kind of battling against a member. I can't remember which Dallas Maverick it was, but he was fighting for positioning with somebody. He rolls an ankle and is down writhing on the court in pain, clutching his ankle for several seconds. Felt like a lifetime. And once again, how is this what we're talking about? Where is Jeff Tanaka? Where is anyone from the Bulls training staff? Where is anyone from the Bulls coaching staff? The officials Rick Carlisle, members of the Mavericks, members of the Bulls, all kind of looking in Jim Boylan's direction as if to say, hey, man, we got a player down. Man down, you're going to call timeout, right? No. Jim Boylan, in fact, confirming with the officials looking in his direction, no, I'm not calling timeout. I'm going to wait for, you know, a stoppage in play to get a sub in. Okay. Rick Carlisle, because he is a decent human being, does the Bulls a solid, does Gafford a solid, and has a player commit a foul so that there will be a stoppage in play so that they can go out there and finally address the Bulls player that is writhing around the ground in pain. And, you know, we touched on it a little bit on Outsiders last night. You know, my buddy John, who is not only a Bulls fan, but a Dallas native and a pretty big Mavs fan, and of course is going through, you know, Luka mania right now, was plugged into not only Bulls Twitter, but Mavs Twitter on this night in the game between these two teams, his two teams. And it's not just the thing that Bulls fans are crazy and wondering, hey, well, what's going on here? How is Gafford writhing around and nobody's addressing it? Nobody is rushing to his aid. The Bulls haven't called a timeout. Mavericks fans and Mavericks media members were talking about this on Twitter. Like, how are the Bulls not addressing the player that's down right now? How is it taking them this long? Is their coach actually not calling a timeout? Is Rick Carlisle going to be the one that has to call a timeout and deal with this? So it's not just us who think that once again this season, the Bulls and their staff were completely oblivious to a situation that needed to be addressed. Because if you remember, earlier this season, something exactly the same happened. And I believe it was when Otto Porter Jr. went down and again, writhing around in pain, looked like he was dealing with a very serious injury. And it took what felt like forever for a member of the Bulls staff to come to his aid. How is that a thing that happens repeatedly? Bulls fans always talk about all of the injuries that this organization has dealt with through the years, not just Derrick Rose, but to all kinds of players. The horrifying stuff that happened to Luol Deng years back during the Tibbs years, like the near catastrophic, near fatal spinal tap incident, all these things, and all these players who can't stay healthy. And they always talk about and obsess about, well, you know, if players stay in our building, then they won't get hurt. They'll minimize the risk of getting hurt if they just utilize everything we have for them at the Advocate Center and work with our training staff, and then we'll stay healthy. And Bulls fans have for years now been like, what the hell's going on? And can you please at least address the issue and consider a little bit of turnover in your strength and conditioning and medical staff? Why is that such a hard concept to address? And we have to watch this shit. On more than one occasion, we have to watch this shit. It should be a game about can the Bulls and Lauri Markkanen, who's playing well, do battle with one of the best teams of the Western Conference and an MVP frontrunner, Luka Doncic. And there were lots of exciting moments and fun things to watch about that game. Bulls offense was actually clicking. You know, the defense was doing their best to slow down Luka. Fruitless errand, but they were doing their best and they were hanging in it. Another game where they look respectable against a very good team. That should have been what Bulls fans got to enjoy last night. Even though they ended up losing the game, it should have been an enjoyable night to watch the Bulls play evenly with an MVP candidate and a very good team. But instead, I'm sitting here the next morning talking about the fact that once again, the Bulls were just oblivious to the fact that they had a man down. What the hell is going on with this incompetent team? And the cherry on top of all this bullshit is that this is coming on the heels of a night where, you know, timeout gate, Jim Boylan was dressing down the media for a very legitimate question after the Boston loss about why he had no timeouts left for the final 4 minutes and change of a close game. And saying, well, I had to take my final timeout because Lauri Markkanen was down and I had to get my injured player some attention. I had to get my injured player off the floor. It shouldn't have been his last timeout in that game. He used his second to last timeout with 9 minutes and 45 seconds left in the fourth quarter and was forced to take his last time out because his player was hurt. In this instance, you are nearing the end of the first half and still have a timeout that you can and should use. But it's like Boylan is so afraid of the backlash coming on the heels of the timeout gate in Boston that he was afraid to take a timeout to address a player who was hurt and writhing around on the court. It's all just such bullshit. It's incompetent bullshit. And that's what we have to be talking about. Instead of a game where, all in all, the Bulls played fairly well against a quality opponent on the road. But we got to sit here and talk about Boylan and his, you know, inability to manage timeouts in back-to-back games. And the Bulls, for not the first time this season, having an issue and an instance where they have a player writhing around in pain on the court and nobody appears to be doing anything about it. It makes you look so unprofessional. It makes you look like a laughingstock. And confirming what Mavericks Twitter was talking about while watching this game last night, it's not just us who think that this is crazy. It's not just the bubble of Bulls fans who think that this team's medical staff is just oblivious and incompetent, and that this team's coach is oblivious and incompetent. It's the teams we're playing against every night, too. They look at what was going on in that Gafford injury and say, what? What are the Bulls doing? Nothing? Is this normal? What's going on here? It's weird. Normal teams, respectable teams that operate the way teams should, look at things that the Bulls do and say, man, what the hell? But don't worry. Rick Carlisle was sure to give a nice attaboy to Jim Boylan and the Bulls for being one of the toughest, hardest competing teams that, you know, that they played this season after the fact. Oh, and I'm sure everybody within the Bulls organization, all the Bulls brass, all the people in the C-suites are just loved to hear that from Rick Carlisle, a very respected head coach in this league. It's lip service and nothing more. It's all just so, so incredibly frustrating. And to top that off, Wendell Carter Jr. also tweaks an ankle underneath the hoop, battling for position. He called it the worst pain he's ever experienced playing basketball after the game. Was on crutches in the locker room after the game. Thankfully, initial x-rays returned negative. MRI scheduled for today. We'll see if we get an update later today on that Wendell ankle. But I would assume that he is bound to miss at least a handful of games. And initial x-rays are negative, but who knows? Who knows with this team and its medical staff? By God. All right. Before we get to the incredible game that Luka Doncic had and what the Bulls tried to do slowing him down, a word from our friends at visitarizona.com. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. Arizona's one-of-a-kind spring training experience is not to be missed. There's 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures. Sounds good for Chicagoans, right? All 10 stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. You can meet the players and get autographs before games. And that's not all. There's so much to see and do nearby. Check out the amazing restaurants and bars, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. I know my fellow Chicagoans love those craft breweries. Enjoy live music for local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And it's a family-friendly occasion. bringing the kids along, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback riding to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildfire parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. I remember some trips back to dude ranches when I was a kid growing up in Texas, just a very little kid, and that's some fun stuff. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining to plan your spring training trip today. All right, so moving on to the Luka show that we saw last night. Man, this guy is fun to watch. I mean, you know, when we've been able, when we're watching Bulls games at NBC for Bulls Outsiders, if the Mavs have a nationally televised game, we're usually putting that one on the other TV so John can watch his precious Luka. But to be honest, as an NBA fan and a basketball fan, as much as John can annoy us with his just unhealthy obsession, some of the best players in the NBA, you just can't help but watch and be in awe of their ability. And Luka, in just his second season as a 20-year-old, is already very much that kind of player. You just can't help but enjoy watching what he does on a basketball court, even when he's doing it to your team, our beloved Bulls. And it looked like he was on his way to one of his more pedestrian nights, all things considered, at halftime. And then the third quarter happened. His 21-point third quarter outburst, which included Luka scoring 14 straight. Yeah. He's drilling threes. He's hitting step backs. He's getting to the lane. He's making the Euro step work. He's making the Bulls defense look silly. And that was my biggest concern coming into last night's game, knowing the defensive system that the Bulls have been using aggressively, which does create a lot of turnovers and give them opportunities to get out in transition, which this Bulls offense desperately needs because their half-court offense is struggling. You also, we all know, as we've seen it happen night in and night out, give up certain things when you play that defense. Namely, looks in the paint and spraying passes out to shooters in the corners. And that's exactly what Luka did last night. He picked the Bulls' defense apart with his ability to break down his defender off the dribble and either get to the rack himself for free throws, for and ones, for easy buckets. He had one Euro last night that just took my breath away. He can also free up space for himself to shoot, working around the perimeter. His and one three-pointer last night, insane. Got Kobe White to bite on a pump fake behind the three-point line. He scores in all of these various ways that are so impressive. And then it's his passing. His court vision right now might be unmatched. I don't think that that's an exaggeration, an overstatement of recency bias from watching him last night. He might be the player in the NBA with the best court vision, and he's 20 years old. And, you know, Rick Carlisle's a smart dude. He's been a successful coach in the NBA for a long time, and he knows how to pick apart an opponent. He knows what to do coming into that game. The Bulls leave open looks for corner threes. And even without the other pairing, you know, the other part of their pairing of these, you know, Euro sensations, Kristaps Porzingis, who's been on the shelf for a few games now, who is like hitting Steph Curry range threes this season when Luka finds him. Even without that, Luka was able to find his other teammates, and guess what? Even though for the most part the Bulls did a good job last night, better than they usually do with their rotations, and credit to them for doing so, even when they get their rotations right with that aggressive defense, the closeouts in the corners are always going to be hard. And that's what we saw last night. Even with the good defensive rotations, you can't get to the corner shooters in time. When the Bulls were making the right helps, when they were making the right switches, whether it was Satoransky trying to get to the corner, Coby White trying to get to the corner, on the final rotation of a defensive possession, the corner threes, when the offense executes the way they're supposed to, are there. And a good shooter will get a good open look before the closeout comes. And that's what happened. The Mavs, as a team, sank 16 threes. Luka sank 5 of them. Most of the other 11 were Luka finding his shooters in the corners. So it was something that we kind of all saw coming. And it's honestly beautiful to watch. It's beautiful basketball. In what today's basketball has become, there aren't many prettier versions of it than what we saw Luka Doncic lead the Dallas Mavericks offense to achieving last night. And then you get to Chris Dunn. Mr. I want to make the all-defensive team. Mr. Puff my chest out when, you know, I get a steal. Talk about what I'm doing on the defensive end. And to Dunn's credit, some of the things that he's doing, embracing this role as a defense-first guy on this team and setting that tone for a team that needs it, is getting some respect and attention nationally. He was just in Zach Lowe's most recent 10 things column, which also highlighted some of the problems that this defense represents and the fact that offensively Chris Dunn is a black hole. However, credit where it's due, and Dunn does relish the opportunity to try and shut down some of the biggest, baddest offensive weapons on the Bulls' opposing teams every night. Sometimes he has more success than others. He played some decent defense on Tatum on Saturday night against Boston, and he got cooked a few times. Monday night against Dallas, played some decent defense at times against Luka, and got cooked sometimes. But the biggest issue, and going back to that 21-point third quarter that Luka had, most of that 21-point third quarter came after Chris Dunn had to take a seat, because he had very quickly into the third quarter picked up his fourth foul, because he got three in the first half and then sat once he got that third foul. Chris Dunn once again early in the fourth quarter picked up his fifth foul. But going back to that third quarter, that's the issue. And it's something that I was talking about a little bit yesterday with Chris Dunn. Yes, he is an above average defender. And the way that he relentlessly pursues the ball when he is guarding on ball and relentlessly glues himself to his man when his man is playing off the ball, and the way that he crashes through some of those screens instead of going under and switching and all that kind of stuff, it presents good and bad. And one of the elements of the bad is Chris gets in foul trouble. I believe as of last night, and I haven't double checked this, but the last time I checked, his per 48 minutes, he's still averaging above 7 fouls. And some might say, and I know my pal C. Red Fred has said this, well, these days in the NBA, the way that the refs call the game and the way that some of these offensive players are so dynamic and so dominant, the quality defenders are going to get a lot of fouls called on them because they're aggressive, and that's what happens. So yes, to some extent, that's true. You know what else is true? Chris Dunn commits some dumb fouls. Dumb fouls. No other way to put it. Dumb fouls. And so Chris Dunn picks up his fourth foul early in the third quarter. Jim Boylan opts to put Shaq Harrison in there to try and check Luka Doncic. And Shaq Harrison, Mr. couldn't live without him, had to bring him and Archie back this offseason, who, like Chris Dunn, gives you essentially nothing offensively. Let's see, Shaq Harrison in 10 minutes, 2 points. Got cooked. Got absolutely cooked by Luka. I'm not saying that Chris Dunn was doing a phenomenal job slowing down Luka, but when he got himself in foul trouble and had to leave the game, Shaq Harrison did even worse. And Luka had himself a 21-point third quarter. And then Chris Dunn does it again, gets himself a fifth foul early in the fourth quarter. And so that all of that stuff is what brings me to the problem I have with Chris, which, you know, and again, I'm not trying to like be too hard on him, and I'm not trying to say that I don't respect what he does for this Bulls team defensively. And I'm not also trying to say that Bulls players, despite their record, despite the struggles that they've gone through this season, should not be confident and proud of what they do when they do things the right way. But it's just such a bad look. And you know what I'm talking about. Chris Dunn picks Luka's pocket as he's bringing the ball up the floor late in the fourth quarter. I believe there were about 3.5 minutes left as this happens. The Bulls are down 12. Chris Dunn picks Luka's pocket, takes it the other way for a dunk to trim the Bulls' deficit from 12 to 10. And at that time, Luka had, what, 36 points? 36 points and was, you know, one more assist away from a 30-point triple-double, which he did end up getting, 38, 11, and 10. And as he's going back down the other way to play his amazing, you know, as C. Red Fred would say, otherworldly, quote-unquote, defense, Chris Dunn has to yap at the Dallas Mavericks bench about the fact that he just picked Luka's pocket and got himself a nice little dunk in transition. Really, Chris? Really? This coming on the heels of a game where you had the gall to say, he can't guard me, to some dude named Wanamaker who nobody knows who the hell that guy is, on a night when you score 13 measly points? It's this kind of stuff from Chris that it's like, okay, dude, I get that some NBA players have all this pride and the chip on the shoulder, and he felt slighted in some way through the offseason and feels like he has something to prove. But come on, man. You're really trying to talk shit to the Mavericks bench because you picked the pocket of their MVP-caliber player who poured 38, 11, and 10 on your sorry ass. And guess what? Another loss. Your 24th loss of the season, man. But you got your one steal on the night on Luka. And then Luka takes the ball back down the court. And what does he do? He crosses Chris Dunn up so hard that Chris Dunn goes flying. And Luka gets himself his 10th assist, spraying to his teammate for a wide open three. What? It's embarrassing. Really? You're going to choose that opportunity to talk shit, Chris Dunn. Your team's 11 games under 500, despite having one of the top three easiest schedules of any team through this point in the season. You scored 6 points last night. And you're talking shit to a guy who poured 38, 11, and 10 on you because you picked his pocket once and got 2 of your 6 points on the night. And you couldn't be out there for as long as you would have liked. Chris Dunn, who's been playing 36 minutes, 38 minutes, 40 minutes recently, played 23 last night because why? Dumb fouls. Dumb fouls that put him on the bench and allowed Luka to absolutely eviscerate Shaq Harrison for a 21-point quarter because Chris was sitting on the bench with foul trouble. You're going to come back from being in foul trouble, get your one steal, and talk shit to Luka freaking Doncic? An MVP candidate at age 20? Shut your mouth, man. Shut your mouth. It's embarrassing. It's a joke. I feel like it's the second day in a row that I've ended the show on such a negative tone, and I apologize for that. But I can't ignore the truths. I must speak them. That's how I felt about last night's game. And again, not to damper the fact that the Bulls as a team played fairly well last night, to put a little bit of a silver lining on this. It was a respectable game. It was a respectable outcome. But you got Jim Boylan ignoring his player writhing on the ground, not calling a timeout, not getting medical staff over to give him appropriate attention in a timely manner. You got Chris Dunn for the second game in a row talking shit when he has no right to be talking shit. we should be talking about a respectable, albeit disappointing, loss to a very good team. And maybe some positive signs that we saw last night. But instead, I'm sitting here talking about this crap. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But call it like I see it, and we'll always try to do so. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck, saying thanks as always for listening, Bulls Nation. I know things are tough. It's our first four-game losing streak of the season, believe it or not. And we have New Orleans Pelicans on deck. Latest update we got from a member of Pelicans media Tuesday morning is that it sounds like they are still going to be very cautious with Zion, with his injury, working his way back. Has participated in 5-on-5, but it sounds like they would like him to get at least one more of those under his belt before they make him active. So there's nothing official yet, but it sounds like all signs point to Zion not playing for the Pelicans when the Bulls do battle with them on Wednesday night. So there's that update. Hopefully we'll cross our fingers and get some good news on the injury front to Wendell Carter Jr. and hopefully also Daniel Gafford, who was able to fight through his twisted ankle and finish that game last night. Don't forget to hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. We'll do some mailbag stuff later in the week, probably tomorrow, and maybe again on Friday. For Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks as always for listening, Bulls fans. Be well. See you red. Be good.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.